Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Perek Beis, the second chapter of Sefer Yeshayahu. We're going to move into a very different theme than what we saw in Perek Aleph. Perek Aleph was a very heavy Chazon Yeshayahu, was talking about destruction. It was this imminent destruction which Yeshayahu is talking about, what seems to be all four kings, that he's talking about a time at the end of days when the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed. However, in Perek Beis, there's a very different theme that's at play. It's a very much lighter Perek. It's talking about the end of days in a very happy, in a very ethereal way about what's going to happen at the times, what sounds like at the times of Mashiach. So it's a short Perek, and we only have 22 psukim, and it's divided really into three sections. Let's try to appreciate this and digest it. The first section is really a vision of the end of the days from the nations of the world standpoint. It runs from Pasuk Aleph to Pasuk Dalet, and it talks about how at the end of the days, the Beis HaMikdash will be revered. It will be the highest of all mountains. That means to say, not just physically speaking, but in terms of socially, emotionally, spiritually speaking. And at this point in time, everybody will come to Yerushalayim. V'holchu amim rabim, everybody will come to Jerusalem, to come to Har Hashem, to the Beis Elokei Yaakov, and they want to go in the ways of the Torah. Why? Ki mitzion teitzei Torah udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. That famous pasuk that we sing, that we say, that we daven, is from this pasuk that from Zion, Torah comes out. And at this point in time, another very, very famous pasuk, V'shafat ben hagoyim, the Mashiach will judge between the nations, V'echiach la'amim rabim, and will rebuke the nations, V'kitasu charvoisom li'itim, they will beat their weapons into plowshares, V'chanisoyeseihem le'mazmeros, and they will turn their spears into mazmeros, and the lo'yisagoyel go'echer v'lo'yumdu od melchama, and they will no longer raise weapons against each other, and they will no longer learn war. And this is the end of the first section, this beautiful end of days vision where war will end, all humanity will come to Jerusalem and cease their fighting. Just to stop at this section before going further, it is interesting that why is it that they are going to Yerushalayim? So the Radak points out that when it's the pasuk says Ki mitzion teitzei Torah, that's the Navi speaking, meaning the Navi is explaining why it is that all the nations will come to Jerusalem because from Yerushalayim teitzei Torah. Obviously a very appropriate learning that we are today as the embassy is being declared in Jerusalem. It is interesting to note that Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks had a beautiful statement upon the declaration of the embassy in New York, and that is that outside the United Nations buildings in New York City is this pasuk, is the pasuk from Yeshayahu, which is he will judge between nations and settle disputes before peoples. They'll beat their swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. However, as Rabbi Sacks points out, that most of the nations forget that the previous pasuk is Ki mitzion teitzei Torah, that Jerusalem is the eternal capital, not just of Israel, but of the entire world. For these words spoken 27 centuries ago remain the greatest of all prayers for peace. They remain humanity's best hope for peace in the Middle East and the world. Let's understand that when will peace really come is when Yerushalayim is recognized as the spiritual center of the world. That's the first section that Yeshayahu is saying, and it is so true, and we're blessed to see this right now, right today. It goes on about, and the next section talks about the arrogance of man, the arrogance of humankind from Pasuk Hey to Pasuk Yud Aleph. In this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Beis Yaakov luchu v'nelcho bar Hashem, let all of the Jews turn and go after the ways of Hashem. Why? Because you, up till now, you've looked to other nations. You looked to the Philistines, you looked to the people around you, and you filled your houses with gold and silver, you amassed horses, you amassed chariots, and in doing so, you brought in their gods, you bowed down to their gods. However, don't worry, says Hashem, I'm going to bring you down. Vayishach Adam vayashpel ish, I'm going to humble you. The Malbim points out there's a difference between an Adam and an Ish. An Adam is a person who has naturally endowed characteristics in which they're strong. An Ish is any person, a person who may have, we'll call it relative characteristics of difference. Wealth, as an example, it's not naturally the person who was born with wealth, but they were just, they happened to be circumstantially, they were good, they had reasons to be higher than other people. In both those cases, Hashem will humble all those people. V'niskav Hashem levadoi b'yom ahu, and Hashem will be alone on that day. And the last section of the Perek, which runs from Pasuk Yud Beis to Chof Beis, the last section is almost very much a verbatim repeat of this idea of humbling humankind. Just in this case, what the Yeshayahu does is gives specific examples. It gives examples of five places of highness: the cedars of Lebanon, the rams of Bashan, the high mountains and the tall hills, the tall towers and fortified walls, and the ships of Tarshish. Those are like the places people look to for power, for being high in this world, for being strong, symbols of strength. Don't worry, on that day, v'shach gav husa adam v'shofel rum anashim, Hashem is going to bring down and humble humankind. V'niska Hashem levado b'yom ahu, Hashem will be alone on that day. And now what this section adds is that Hashem is going to destroy and eradicate those gods that we adopted from the nations around us. And in his power and in his shine, we and the nations are going to look for cracks in the rocks and caves to hide from his light and his power, because of the moment of that day and how terrifying it is. And you're going to be terrified, because even any human being which has a neshama in their nose, what are they really worth? How powerful are they really? And the theme of these last two sections is the humility of the human being versus the power of God. A few things to focus on in general, and that is that the Chida points out that that Hashem will be alone on that day is the expression of the greatest strength of God, and therefore the greatest humility of humanity. However, if you think about it carefully, that is exactly the opposite of how humans were created. The creation of humankind, when Hashem blew that neshama into their nose, Hashem neshama ba'apo, which is the way the perek ends, what happened? The Torah describes it as Naaseh Adam. Hashem says, let us make man. He, so to speak, as Rashi points out, consults with Pamalia Delay. He consults with the celestial host, a sign of humility. In the greatest act of creation, of the most powerful creation in this world, the human being, Hashem does it in an act of humility, consulting those around him. Even at the risk of sounding like HaKadosh Baruch Hu has shtei rishiyos, that there is more powers in heaven than him alone, by using a verb which is in the plural, by saying, let us make man. So the act of creation itself was one of humility. But the ramification of that was that humanity feels sometimes that there's more powers than simply God in heaven. And they look around and look at the nations around them and they say, well, let's adopt these other powers. And Hashem says, don't worry, there's going to come a time in history, v'niskav Hashem levadoi, that Hashem is going to be alone at that point in time, and you'll be incandescently aware of the fact that you are so humble, because there really is only one Hashem. This is almost like the rectification of the misnomer created at creation. And you will adopt humility by Hashem's aloneness, because that's what Hashem did. By adopting humility, he created the space for the mistake, but he wanted us to learn humility. If we didn't learn it ourselves, he's going to make us learn it. That's what the Chida understands. One last point just to think about when looking at this perek as a whole, and you think to yourselves, why in the world is Yeshayahu giving this nevuah right now? Meaning, he's just talked about a nevuah of destruction. Why in the world is he giving this nevuah, talking about at the end of days and the base of Migdash and the nations and the humility of Israel? Says the Malbim, he's speaking to the generation living at the times of the base of Migdash, living in the place of Yehuda and Yerushalayim, and he's saying the following. Understand, there's going to come a time in the future, says the Malbim, that all the nations are going to look to you for wisdom. They're going to come to Jerusalem. They're going to come for openings of embassies and places of great scientific advance and historical renown. They're going to come to you and they're going to see that Torah comes only from Jerusalem. And then you will look to yourselves and realize that you had the truth the whole time. You didn't need to look to them for their truth. You didn't need to go and find the fancies and entertainments of other nations to find your culture, because you had it, because in the end of days, they're all going to come to you. If they're all going to come to you, then why are you leaving your culture? That's what Yeshayahu is saying. Why are you looking towards the other nations for a sense of identity? You have the identity. They're going to come to you. Be proud of it. As Rabbi Jonathan Sachs says in the letter in the scroll, that non-Jews are proud of Jews who are proud of Judaism, and are embarrassed of Jews who are embarrassed of Judaism. God willing, we should be zeichet to be able to be proud of everything we have, so we really do become the pilgrimage for the entire world. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.